Sean Mice here, and in this segment, I'm just going to dig into the emotional prospect-oriented part of your sales letter. So a bit of a disclaimer here. This is the only part of the sales letter I'm going to be teaching here, except maybe a rabbit trail or two. We're going to make the assumption, and for those of you that I'm teaching live right now, your sales letters are excellent. You did an excellent job presenting, all the bullet points of everything, all the benefits and features. You're doing a great job on that. The piece that I'm seeing is consistently missing is the part that really draws the prospect in. Okay, and so the first thing I want to do is give some background to why we do this, and then what I'm going to do is give you some ideas on how you can do it. I'm going to be careful here, to the best of my ability. I'm going to try not to put words in your mouth. I'm going to try not to say, okay, this is the one way to say this, because you can do this 100 different ways. That's why I'm going to give you the background. I want you to get the background first. Okay. So let's get into the background. Why does somebody buy from you? Do they buy from you because you have beautiful salesmanship on your sales letter? Do they buy from you because you have the best training program on earth? I mean, hopefully you do, but is that why they're buying from you? Do they buy from you because you have the best looking buy button? Do they buy from you because you have the cheapest coaching around? Do they buy? Why do people buy from you? A lot of times we get so hung up on, people buy because we have the perfect words on our sales letter. People buy because we have the perfect training program. People buy because they like the smile in my picture. People buy for all these different, we think we can split test out all these different reasons why people buy. Why do people really buy? I mean, think about it. Why do you buy? Why are you listening to the sound of my voice right now? Is it because I write perfect headlines? And is it because I have perfectly persuasive language? Is it because you like the way that I look? I mean, is it because I use a special color on my sales page? Think about the other products that you've purchased from other people, other coaching that maybe you've purchased. I mean, did you purchase it because there's, the color's right, the headline's right, the language is right, the persuasion is right? My guess is, folks, none of those. You're laughing at me right now because none of those are the reasons that you bought. I mean, sure, does the color of the font occasionally influence sales? Yeah, unfortunately, it probably does. But 1% here, 2% there. Why are you listening to the sound of my voice? Why have you bought from me in the past? Why have you bought from anybody else? I submit to you, it's because I have something you need. Why have you bought from anybody else? Because they have something you need. And why are your subscribers going to buy from you? They are going to buy from you because you have something they need. Okay, so if people are buying from you because you have something they need, then what's with all the perfect language on a sales page? What is with all the split testing and a perfectly persuasive language and the perfect pricing and all of that? I submit to you that all of that is less important than meeting people's needs. Okay, now, let's think about what are people's needs. What are people's needs? Are people's needs to get 10 hours of recording from you and to spend 24 hours with you and to get a 50-page manual? Is that what their needs are? Or are their needs to improve their life? Now, you think about that. Do they need 24 monthly lessons with you? Do they need 20 hours of instruction? Do they need unlimited email access? I submit to you that they don't need any of those things. They need the results you're going to give them. That's what they need. Okay, now granted, it may take you 20 hours to get them those results, and in that case, it could be argued that they need the 20 hours to get the result. But what are they buying? Are they buying 20 hours or are they buying the result? Do they want 20 hours or do they want the result? Let me ask you this. If you guarantee to get the exact same results in 1 hour instead of 20 hours, I'm not saying it's possible, but if you could, it would be fair to charge exactly the same price, and a savvy consumer would actually rather pay the same price for 1 hour than the same price for 20. Why? Because it will save the consumer 19 hours of time to learn everything they need to learn in 1 hour instead of 20. And unfortunately, we tend to think that people just want more hours, and so we build more and more and more in our program. And by the way, I mean, there's a place for that. Some people think a package is better because there's more in it. So I'm not suggesting come up with a one-hour coaching program and put the same price on it. I just want you to realize that what you're selling is not 20 hours. You are selling a result. And I want to link this to the fact that because in our minds, I see this all the time, because in our minds, we believe that people want 20 hours of coaching, and they want 40 hours of incredible information, and they want 200-page manual, and they want unlimited email access, and they want this. It's easy to fall into the trap. I'm going to call it what it is. It's a trap. It's easy to fall into the trap of spending 80% of our sales letter telling everybody how wonderful it will be to spend 20 hours with us, to get 40 hours of training, to read a 200-page manual, on and on and on. But that's not what they're buying. They're buying the results that they're going to get as a result of working with you. Okay, now if that's true, you obviously have to buy into that, have to believe that. And you know, I think it probably took me quite a bit of time to make that logical jump for me personally, that what people were buying from me was results, not some package of information. It was a long learning curve for me, and hopefully in me being able to share it with you as bluntly as I am right now, I can shorten that learning curve for you. But I also recognize that if you can't buy into that 100% right now, well, now's your beginning, and hopefully over time you'll continue to buy into this, that people buy based on the results that they're going to get, not because of everything that you've loaded in the package and telling them all about. Okay, now, let's take this another step. If people are going to buy based on the results that they are going to get from you, if somebody doesn't need the results they're going to get from you, then they're not even really a prospect. Okay, let me rephrase that. If somebody doesn't need your results, they shouldn't purchase the package. Okay, now that's the no-brainer. Here's the next step. If somebody reads your sales letter and needs the results that you're going to give them, but doesn't know it, they still won't buy your package. Let me rephrase that or restate that. If somebody reads your sales letter and they have a need for your result, but they don't feel or recognize that need for the result, they still won't buy from you. Okay, so if we back this up like this, if we recognize people are not buying your fancy package, what they're really buying is the results, we back this up logically, you know, back up like moving backwards, okay? If we back up moving backwards and we say, but people won't realize, sometimes people don't realize they have a need for the result, therefore they won't buy. The root of all of this comes down to when we get into our sales letter, we must reveal their need to them. Okay, let me give you a real world example. Let's just say that somebody has been struggling to get some level of results in their life. They've been struggling to get these results in their life. Let's say that these results are, I want to be a little bit general here so that anybody can really sink their teeth into this. Let's say that the results are that somebody is going to be three times as productive in their life. That's what the result somebody wants to be. Doesn't matter if it's a one-hour program, a 20-hour program, or a million-hour program. The results they want is they want to be more productive in their life.
Okay, now, let's just say that your solution to them being more productive in their life is that they manage their time better. Okay, now, if somebody wants to be more productive in their life, and that's the result that they're going to get, okay, you're going to meet that productivity result by showing them how to be more effective with the time that they have. If they don't realize they have a problem with time and they don't tie that into the result that you're offering, which is to become more productive, they aren't going to buy your package. And it's the same in every single niche. If people do not realize what their need is, they will not make the emotional connection to needing your result, even if they need it. Okay, so here's one more example. Let me just use a health example. Let's say that a person is deficient in a certain vitamin, and as a result of being deficient in whatever the vitamin is, they're having some imaginary symptom. Let's say their skin is peeling off. Okay, they don't know that they need the vitamin. You're selling the vitamin. They don't know they need it. They need it, though. But if all you do is talk about you need this vitamin, but you don't tie it to the fact that their skin is peeling off and that's why they need the vitamin, they'll never buy the vitamin. No matter how much they need it, no matter how much you discount it, they'll never buy the vitamin. However, if 80, 90% of your sales letter was all about how miserable they are, and maybe being miserable is not the right answer, but if 80% of your sales letter was about their skin peeling off, and 5% or 10% of your sales letter was about the solution, then you have a much higher likelihood that they're going to buy the vitamin, even if they don't understand the vitamin, because it's going to solve their problem. I hope that was clear enough. The idea here is that your sales letter to you, the purpose in your sales letter is to get somebody to click the buy button. But to them, the purpose of the sales letter has to be to unveil their problem so that they see that they need the result. Your job is to unveil the problem so that people see that they need the result. Okay, now, here's what happens in real life. They join your list, they have a problem. Say they want to learn how to do more business. They want to learn how to get healthier. They want to learn how to do SEO. They want to get more traffic to their offline business. Whatever the case is, they came onto your list for this reason. And now you create a sales letter that gives them that result, but they've forgotten that their real problem is that they're not doing any link building. They've forgotten their real problem is they're not eating fruits and vegetables. They have forgotten that their real problem is they don't have an email campaign in place. And if all you do is sell them the solution, they don't have any good reason to become emotionally excited about buying. Okay? There's an old saying out there that people buy based on emotion and justify with logic. And I don't know that that's 100% true. Okay? But if you think about it, you know, you could logically build up why, all the reasons why you should go have a root canal. Okay? The doctors told you your tooth is broken. Your doctors told you the root is dying. The doctors told you that your breath stinks. Your doctors told you the tooth is going to fall out. But if for some reason you don't feel any pain, you can logically tell yourself you need a root canal for 2 years. And then one day you wake up and you have excruciating pain in your jaw. And after 2 years of your dentist telling you should have this root canal, you go in there and you demand that your dentist quit cleaning teeth and rip that tooth out. Why? Because he logically persuaded you for 2 years? Or because you were emotionally persuaded today because your tooth hurts? And we could do this many different scenarios. I mean, we could look at health. You know, you could logically, for 5 years, you could logically say, I need to eat this and this and this. I need to get healthier. I need to eat better. You could logically tell yourself that for 5 years. But until you go to the doctor and the doctor looks you in the eyes and says, if you keep eating like this, you're going to whatever. You're going to need medicine for the rest of your life. Or you're going to die in a year or whatever. OK? okay? Until that happens, you don't change. Hey, that it could be argued that the reason you change your diet is because for 5 years you've logically told yourself you could change. But realistically, it's the emotion that happened at the doctor's office when he looked you in the eyes and said you're going to be on this medicine for the rest of your life, or you're not going to live very long, or whatever the case is. It's the same thing with just about anything that we need results for in our life. We can logically go, it's just like we go to a car dealership. One more example, I will get back into the teaching. Go to a car dealership. Logically, we need a car with four wheels. We need one that has 40 miles per gallon. We need one that's going to last 100,000 miles. We need one that will have room for our luggage. Okay, we get there and we tell the salesman all of those things. And we drive a couple of really boring cars that have four wheels and get 40 miles a gallon and have room for our luggage. And we're not really sure we're going to buy one yet. Okay, now, we're here to buy a car because we logically know we need all of these things. And as we're walking out of the dealership, the salesman says, well, since you're not going to buy one anyway, I mean, this is a cute little car right here. You want to sit down in it just for fun, 5 minutes? And you're not buying one today anyway. And you're like, ah, you shrug your shoulders. You're like, yeah, I'm sure not buying a sports car today. You sit down, and after about 5 minutes, you're kind of liking it. It smells really good. And, you know, the leather feels really good, and the controls feel really good. And the salesman looks over at you, and he winks at you, and he says, hey, you want to take it around the block? And you're like, I don't really have time. I'm not buying it anyway. I logically need four wheels and 40 miles per gallon, blah, blah, blah. And the salesman's like, I don't have anything else to do, and you don't have anything else to do. Let's head over to the steakhouse and have ourselves a steak. So you drive over to the steakhouse, and you have yourself a steak, and you get back in the car, and you drive it back. And before you know it, a couple hours later, that car is parked in your driveway. Why? You may come up with a whole list of reasons why you bought that car. It's got four wheels. It's got room for your luggage. It's the right color. Why did you buy the car? Because you're emotionally attached to the car after spending a couple hours in it. Okay, let's get this back to the sales letter. And you may say, well, these are ridiculous examples. I don't sell cars. I don't sell health. And I don't remember the first example, but that's okay. The bottom line is, folks, you may think those are ridiculous, but if you'll take the time, you'll realize that almost everything you invest your money in, except for the bills that you have to pay every single month, and half of those you pay because if you don't, there's some bad emotional consequences that go with not paying them. Almost everything you invest in, you're emotionally invested in it, probably more than you're logically invested. Now, what does that mean? It means that if we write the most beautiful, logical sales letter in the whole wide world, we're not going to be meeting the emotional needs of the people who are going to be buying from you. They're all buying from you for an emotional reason. You know, Leonardo, your businesses that are buying your local search engine optimization, they are not buying that just because it'll feel good inside to be number one in the search engine. They are not buying that because they want to proudly invest $1,000 a month with you. And they are not buying that because they want to be able to tell all their friends that they have such a good relationship with you. They are buying that because they are noticing that their business is slipping away because people aren't reading the yellow pages or the white pages quite like they used to, and their businesses next door are getting more of the online business, and it's making them get a knot in their stomach because they're afraid that if they don't get online, they're going to go bankrupt. That's why they're buying from you, Leonardo. Dave, they are not buying from you because they think it would be really cool to invest $500 a month with you. They are not buying from you because they would love to hear the sound of your voice three times a month. They are not buying from you because they really care about all your secrets. They are buying from you because if they don't make a change in their life, they aren't going to be able to go on a vacation this year. They aren't going to be able to go on a better vacation. They may lose their business. That's why they're buying from you. They are buying from you because they have a desperate emotional need inside of themselves. That's why they're buying from you. And if your entire sales letter is all, it's a beautiful sales letter, but it's all about the logical reasons why they should buy, they don't buy. Okay, so that's the background. Let's get into how you do it. Okay, here's what I do. And maybe before we even get into how what I do, let's just talk about what are some things we could do to get people to think. One of the things that you could do would be to ask people questions in the sales letter that gets them to think about the real reason why they might need a solution. I use "are you frustrated" type questions, and I call them "are you frustrated" questions, but you can substitute any word in there, and I'm going to throw a few of them out there. And you probably recognize this in my sales letters. Okay, so the beginning of my sales letter, you don't have to do this at the beginning. I mean, if you do something enough, you tend to kind of get a pattern to it. I mean, it's kind of like if there's 8 different ways for you to drive to work and they take exact same amount of time, why on earth do you drive the same way every day? Well, because you're a creature of habit. Okay, and that's why my sales letters all look basically the same. Why? Not because the order that I use is the perfect order necessarily, but because I'm a creature of habit just like you are. Okay, so what I normally do is I'll open the sales letter with the questions. Are you frustrated because you're not feeling as healthy as you should be? Are you frustrated because your competitors are getting more business than you are because they're advertising online? Are you frustrated because you're not as productive as you should be? Are you frustrated because your relationship with your husband or wife isn't going as well as you'd like it to be? Are you frustrated because you gained 20 pounds last year and you promised yourself you wouldn't? Are you frustrated because are you frustrated with whatever it is? Do you ever get angry because you can't control yourself? Do you ever get angry because you try to work for 8 hours during the day and at the end of the day you've got 1 good hour of work to show for it? Are you irritated because you spent the last 3 years trying to build your sandwich shop and you still aren't breaking even? Does it anger you that you bought this sandwich shop 3 years ago and you're still losing money? Does it irritate? So there's a bunch of words you can use. You just go to a thesaurus and find all the words that mean frustrated or irritated or angry or frustrated or despondent or disappointed. And there's probably 100 different words in the language that you could use. I tend to, because once again, I'm a creature of habit, I tend to use the same 3 or 4 all the time. But go find 100 of them using a thesaurus so that you can use words that resonate for you. That's what I do. That's what I like to do. And I told you, you know, you use some of those. They don't have to be at the beginning. I put mine at the beginning because I want somebody, I only care for people to read my sales letter who are frustrated, that have these irritations. Because people, most of the time, they're buying from you because they have a problem and they want to solve it. They're not buying because they just want to improve their life. Most people that want to improve their life, unfortunately, are wanting to improve it because they're not happy with the way that it is. People are totally happy with everything the way it is. They really want to improve things. And unfortunately, I mean, you may be the exception. And I think that that's one thing that makes writing a sales letter difficult for people like you and me, okay, because I can be having a perfectly good day. I still want to have a better day tomorrow. But, you know, I think that probably most of the population of the world makes positive changes when they have a problem. Okay, and if you're writing your sales letter to happy people that want to improve their life, it's a very small percentage of the population are happy people that want to improve. I mean, in my experience, few people are happy, and the few people that are happy don't want to be happier, they're happy. So if you write your sales letter to happy people, well, you know, I mean, you know, it'd be kind of like if a doctor said, you know, I'm going to be a doctor, but only to well people, okay? And you know, I don't want to see if you're sick. You know, the doctor sets up and he's treating the people that are sick. Now, by the way, you know, that some doctors have actually, you know, a rabbit trail, but I have to, because I brought this up, I need to. I mean, some doctors have found a way to do a wellness thing. Hey, you pay me if you're well, you pay me every single month, you don't pay me when you're sick. Okay, I don't know the statistics on that working out, but I mean, for the most part, doctors are there to fix people that have problems already. You're sort of a doctor in your niche. You're the person that fixes problems. You've got to draw those, you must draw those problems out in order to be able to, for people to feel like they're going to be able to solve them. And so that's what I do. I usually do 3 or 4 of these. You can sprinkle them all the way through your sales letter if you want to. The second thing that works really well, and by the way, I'm going to tell you this, I'm not good at doing what I'm getting ready to share with you.
most of you probably could be better at it if you'll follow my directions. I'm not good at it. I don't even like telling stories. And I know that when I say that, you probably roll your eyes because just in this teaching, I've probably told you 10 analogies. And, you know, maybe I should think of these as analogies and not stories. I have a really difficult time when I'm writing sales letters coming up with these stories that really meet where your prospect is. However, I've developed an exercise over time that when I've used it with my clients and they use it, they're usually able to write a really beautiful story. And so I'm going to give you that exercise now. You won't be able to find this in my sales letters to model. You just have to, you know, you're just going to do the exercise. And so what I like to do is to have people forget about writing a sales letter. And I'll do that. Sometimes I'll say, let's just forget about writing a sales letter, but I have a couple exercises for you. And I say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me all about how bad your life was before you found the solution that you now sell. And they'll tell me about their life. And then if they didn't make it very bad, I'll write them back and I'll be like, seriously, it was worse than that, wasn't it? I mean, really, get me into some emotion. I mean, really, write 3 or 4 paragraphs about how horrible things were in your life before you discovered the solution that you now sell. And then they sometimes we have to bounce back 3 or 4 times before it really gets emotional and really bad. And they tell me how horrible it was before. And then I ask them, what if you were to put that story in your sales letter? Do you think it would resonate with people? Now, remember, I told them to forget about the sales letter. Obviously, this is a sales letter teaching, so you're not going to be able to do that. But you just know that's the idea here. Forget about your sales letter for a little while. Write about the pain. Okay, now, you may say, well, you know, I'm a psychologist, and I've never had any pain. I just help people with their pain. If that's the case, and you don't have pain that you can talk about, that's okay. Then what I do with those kinds of people, I say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me about your ideal client. Tell me how horrible their life is before they start working with you. Think about it. Sometimes it takes people 3 or 4 days to really dwell on it and think about it. And they write me back, and it's like a paragraph. And it's not very emotional. I write them back, and I say, add some emotion to that. I mean, really tell me how horrible it was for this client. And we get done with this, and maybe a week later they got 4 or 5 paragraphs that just really describe how horrible it is to be without your solution. And then I ask them the question, what if you were to put that in your sales letter? They go, oh, wow. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how many of these to do. Obviously, it needs to be accurate. If it is about a real client, you need to have proof. And I'm not even going to get into what that means, but there's laws about representing clients and testimonials and all that. Those laws change over time. So I'm not an attorney. I'm not a legal advisor. You need to find out what the laws are in your jurisdiction and anywhere that you're selling. Find out what those laws are. Obviously, if you've been through the pain, you can tell whatever's accurate about your pain. Okay. And again, depending on the laws, and then again, I'm not a legal advisor. You need to find all this out to make sure that it's legal for you. You can always tell a story about an imaginary person. And notice in my sales letters, I use the words imagine a good bit. Let's just imagine. There, I used it. Let's just imagine that you're writing your sales letter to somebody. Let's have an imaginary problem. Let's go back to the example. I love to have this example. You've got you just inherited a new dog, and the dog goes anywhere in the house but not outside on the grass. Okay? So if we were to write something, we could say, imagine that you were to go down to the pound and pick up a new dog, and the people at the pound told you that this dog was potty trained, and you took this dog into your house, and you went into the kitchen, and you were pouring yourself a drink, and when you came out, you found that the dog had thought the middle of your living room was the doggy area outside in the grass. How would you feel right now? Now, most of you probably hearing the sound of my voice are shriveling your noses because you can almost smell what your living room would smell like right now, even if you don't have a dog. If you just throw that word out there, imagine that you were to do X, Y, Z. You can now tell an imaginary, hypothetical story that does not have to be rooted in reality. Now, obviously, if it's rooted in some level of general reality, the person reading your sales letter isn't going to connect, okay? If this is a realistic scenario that may have occurred with your prospect, then you can literally use those words. Imagine that you were to do X, Y, Z. How would that feel? Okay, so let's just say that you are in the productivity niche. Imagine that you woke up on Monday morning. Maybe this has happened to you before. Imagine you wake up on Monday morning and you have a list of 10 things to do. Each one will take 1 hour to do, and you're excited because you're turning over a new leaf and you're going to do 10 hours of work today. And you go through, you work really hard all day long, and then at the end of the day, you decide to look at the list and see what you've accomplished, and you realize you've only accomplished one of those things. You wonder where all of your time went. Have you ever felt like that? And I write that in my sales letter, folks. I write, have you ever felt like that? What's the worst case scenario? They'll say no. Well, if they say no, I'm going to tell another story. And look, if I tell four stories and they say no to all of them, they probably don't need me anyway. They're not a prospect. So I don't care if I'm turning them off. I don't care if I'm filtering them out because they don't need me anyway. I mean, think about it. If you teach dogs how to go inside instead of outside or out instead of inside, and your person reading your sales letter doesn't own a dog, does it matter if they don't read your letter? Same thing. If somebody doesn't have a productivity problem, they don't need your productivity training. If somebody doesn't have a weight problem, they don't need your weight training. If somebody doesn't have a problem with SEO, they don't need your SEO training. They don't even need to read your sales letter. So you just have to assume that somebody's reading your sales letter that has your problems, and they're going to say yes mentally to the question. Okay? And then maybe in the next paragraph you say, what about the next day? You went into the next day, you had those 9 things that you wanted to do, and you had some extra super commitment that you were going to get all of these things done, and at the end of the day, you found that you hadn't even done any of them because your email beeped, and you had a phone call from your spouse, and your children had an emergency, and your dog needed to play, and your boss had a couple of meetings that he needed you to go to, and you ate some bad lunch, and she had some heartburn. But nevertheless, you would have been just as productive staying at home. Does that ever make you feel sick inside? What are people going to be thinking if they live and rooted in the real world? And that's what you sell, and that's who's on your list. They're going to be thinking, you know what, it does make me sick inside that happens. And you continue to tell stories about whatever it is. So, Leonardo, your story might be, imagine that one day you open up your store, and you go in and you find that your bookings aren't quite as many as they were last year. And you begin to get curious if this is across the board or if it's just you. And so you go make some dummy appointments with some of your competitors. And you go to their store and you look around their store and you realize that the people are just standing up outside the door in a waiting line to do business. And you begin to wonder what it is. And so you surreptitiously ask a few people in line, how did you find out about this person? And you say, oh, well, I went on the search engine and they were the first one on the search engine. And so I booked an appointment with them. Imagine if you talk to 2 or 3 people like that. Would that make you feel a little uncomfortable? What if you went and you did a little searching online and you found that your competitors were coming up on page 1 and you're coming up on page 25 or non-existent? Would that make you feel a little sick inside? I don't know about you, but if that happened to me, I would feel that way. And you can tell another story. Okay, whatever's relevant in your niche. So, you know, let's kind of get back to maybe business building. You know, imagine that, and perhaps you've been in these shoes before. I mean, maybe for the last 3 months or 6 months or, you know, hopefully not, but maybe for the last 3 years, you've been trying to get your small business up and running and it's still barely breaking even. That's a frustrating scenario, isn't it? You know, I mean, maybe you've been buying programs and you've been trying this and you tried this kind of advertising and you spent $5,000 on this advertising and, you know, you got some consulting from this person and you went and checked out your competitors and you spent a lot of money on that and you spent a lot of time and you keep telling your spouse you're going to be bringing home more money. But the truth of the matter is your business is falling backwards farther than it's falling forwards. Do you ever feel like that? What's the average person reading your sales letter going to say? Well, yeah, it felt like that. And even if they haven't felt exactly like that, they're going to feel the same pit in their stomach that comes from thinking about how they would feel if they felt like that. And you tell the next story. You say, you know, Have you ever been thinking, you know, maybe I'm not doing things quite right? Maybe my emails aren't right, and that's why people aren't responding to me. Is it possible the reason so many people are reporting me for spam and unsubscribing because my emails are lousy? How would that make you feel inside if you realize that? You think maybe that could be happening with you? I mean, if you have the right prospect or the right page, what are they going to say to themselves? They're going to say yes. Okay, now, let me just say this. I've given you tons of examples here. Hopefully I'm not putting words in your mouth, but, I mean, obviously a line here, a line there. But, folks, this is what's missing from so many sales letters out there. And I submit to you that if 80% of your sales letter was about the prospect and their problems, and then you were to transition to, you know, I know how you felt. I know how you feel. I felt that way before because this is what I went through when I was building my business, or this is how I went through when I started my small business, or this is how what I went through when I went to the doctor and he told me I had to lose 100 pounds, or this is how I felt when I went to the doctor and he told me I was going to be on medicine for diabetes for the rest of my life if I didn't clean up my diet, or this, I know how you feel because that's how I used to be. I used to work 8 hours a day and only have 30 minutes worth of work to show for it. I know how you feel. And I spent the next 3 years trying different things and figuring different things out. And then you tell all about how horrible it was, that transition, assuming it was. But for most people, it is. That's an accurate story. If it's not, you tell about one of your clients, okay? And you say, I went through this time period. I struggled. These were the things that I did. Most things didn't work. I figured out what works and how's how my life is different. And you just tell one paragraph. You've written 25 or 10 or whatever about their life. Now you just write one paragraph about how wonderful life is now. That's all you need to do. Then the next paragraph you say, let me ask you this. Imagine that you were to wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock and you were to create your to-do list of everything that you'd love to get done today. And you were to sit down and you were to use my very special secret techniques, and at 3 hours later at 10 o'clock, you would realize that you have accomplished more in the last 3 hours than most people do in an entire week. How would that feel? People are going to be getting excited and shaking as they read your sales letter. And they're going to go, wow, that would feel really good. And then you're going to say, what would you do with all that extra time? Would you go play golf? Would you ask your wife if she'd like to spend a couple hours in this afternoon together? Would you perhaps call one of your children and say, you know what, I'm taking you out of school this afternoon and we're going to go skiing? How would that feel to do that? And then how would it feel to wake up tomorrow morning and do the same thing and be more productive in 2 days than most people are in 2 weeks? How would that feel? How would it feel if at the end of the week you've done more work than most people have done in 5 weeks? You've made more money than most people have made in 5 weeks? How would it feel to be able to go to your wife and say, you know what, we've got all the money in the bank we need for the next 4 weeks. What do you say? You and I get on a plane and we fly away to a beach somewhere for 7 days. How would that feel deep down inside if that were to happen? It's emotion here, folks. That's why they're buying from you. They're buying because they have pain, and they're buying because you can take them to the other side of the pain. That's what your sales letter is all about. And obviously, you're going to take a paragraph or two and tell them what's in your program. You're going to take a paragraph or two and tell them how you're going to work with them. But they're going to buy because of all the emotion that we've just talked about. That's why they're going to buy. So let me ask you this. Let's open a call up. You've muted. Thank you. Hit star 7. Any comments or questions? Let's start with Dave. Any comments or questions on what I've just shared? You feel like that will be helpful to you?
Sean, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, good. This was just absolutely fantastic, just how you went through the transitions and how you broke this out, you know, with the pain and the emotion, and it's been very, very helpful for me. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. Let me take Leonardo real quick. Leonardo, if you're live with me, hit star 7 on your phone. I'll just ask you the same question. You think that this will help you as you're working on your sales letter, Leonardo? Leonardo may have had to jump off, and if that's the case, let's do this. Let's open the call up. Any comments or questions on what I've just shared?
Hi, Sean. I'm back on.
Hello, Leonardo. Leonardo, any comments or questions on what I've just shared?
Yes, I think, it's making a lot of sense. They need to be imagining how life would be like. They need to be seeing these problems and really thinking about these problems. And then obviously, you've got to prove to them how you can solve them, so they start getting excited in their mind and all the rest of it. And it makes a lot of sense.
Excellent.